This just does not happen in Alaska. Oh, we get our touring performers, we get concerts and festivals. We even had our own circus for a while, but traveling circus arriving in town with tents and a parade? Well, it's happening. Good morning and welcome to Talk of Alaska. I'm Steve Heimel. Today our guests are the new old-time Chautauqua now playing in Talkeetna. Call 1-800-478-8255. That's 478-TALK to talk to our guests. And Anchorage a local call at 550-8422. Email talk@alaskapublic.org. It's clowns and juggling, stilts and more on Talk of Alaska statewide.
Today's program is underwritten in part by ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company, and by First National Bank Alaska, serving Alaskans' financial needs for nearly a century. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of APRN, this station, or its underwriters.
I've been amazed by them ever since I first heard of them, which was probably on, let's say, the Steve Allen Show, maybe even. Or the Smothers Brothers, maybe. The Flying Karamazov Brothers. And we actually have one of them with us. Kuzma Karamazov, Harry Levine. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Harry.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So, how long have you been a Flying Karamazov brother?
Well, I have been a Flying Karamazov brother for the past year only, actually.
Oh.
There are now two troops performing around the world.
So, for those who do not know, this is a long and noble tradition, the Karamazov brothers.
Yes. Actually, the Karamazov brothers were part of the group of people who founded the New Old Time Chautauqua back in 1981.
So going back all those so many years ago, which doesn't seem like that long ago to me, but this has been an act for a long, long time. Tell me basically what it is. What is the act? Is it comedy? Is it acrobatics? Is it juggling? What is it?
Are you, when you say what is the act, the question, this is Joey, are you asking about, you wanted Harry to answer?
I want the Flying Karamazov brothers, and then we move to the new old-time Chautauqua.
Okay, that's what we wanted. The act is a vaudeville spectacular.
Ah!
That's basically what our big show is, but our purpose is many-fold. As we go into communities, we try to parade around the communities, in and out of stores and down the main streets and all around. We do workshops, circus arts workshops, and we do service work. We try and go to senior centers, jails, all sorts of places to try and bring vaudeville and variety into underserved and every area we can.
Joey Pipia, you are the... as I understand it, the senior Chautauquan of the group. So how long does that put you with the organization?
I did my first tour in 2001.
Uh-huh. And you're the magician of the group as well.
I am indeed. I'm the resident magician.
So tell me, if we were to be watching you during the presentation, which I gather in Talkeetna takes place this evening, right?
This evening and tomorrow evening, tonight at 8:30, it's Wednesday. Wednesday at 8:30 and Thursday at 7.
Oh, okay. And there's also a parade, right?
Indeed.
Okay.
Parade is today.
All right. That's how I got confused. I thought there'd be the parade and then a performance. But you got workshops in there too, right?
That's right. And often that is the case. Often we do the parade and the workshops the same day that we do the show, and today this stop is just a little different.
Yeah. Well, this is Alaska. Everything about Alaska is a little different. You probably already found that out, didn't you?
Absolutely.
For one thing, it takes a long time to get from one place to another. You guys were just in Fairbanks. Was that the kickoff of the tour?
That was our first show of the Alaska tour, yes.
And tell me how that went. I mean, first off, you know, you had to come up the Alaska Highway, I assume.
It was an extraordinary trip, and we did have a little bit of a pre-Chautauqua mechanical malfunction.
Oh.
So we left a day late, and we pretty much spent 3 days on the bus to make sure that we were on time getting to Fairbanks.
So is it just Can you do all this out of one bus, or do you have a caravan that you travel in?
I believe we have three vehicles on tour. We've got two buses right now, actually, because we connected up with the Green Light Circus, which is here, I think, located in Talkeetna. And so we have two buses with us right now. We have the truck, which carries most of our equipment and gear, and then we have the kitchen van.
Oh, that's great. So the Green Light Circus is still in business.
I believe they are.
Oh, well, that's great because, you know, as you probably have been told and have learned, if you weren't told, there's kind of a circus act tradition there in Talkeetna.
We've connected up with them. We've been connected up with them in the past have friends who are former Green Light Circus performers that we see during our cross-country trips when different parts of Canada as far as New York.
Good heavens. Well, okay, I'm trying to figure out just what it is, Joey. What is this new old-time Chautauqua? What is the theory of it? I mean, there have been these, well, I think since, like, Burning Man, there's sort of this kind of new, neo-busking acrobatics. There's all different sorts of it now kind of out in the streets, but rarely all the way up to Alaska. Where did the new old time Chautauqua fit into that whole spectrum of whatever they're calling revived tribalism or touring or whatever?
Well, we were founded back in 1981 or two by Dr. Patch Adams and the Flying Karamazov brothers, with the mission of bringing incredibly talented live performers and an education component to communities, to small communities around the Northwest, but we've been as far as, we're here up in Alaska. We've been to Alaska before, we're returning. We've been to New Orleans, and I think Chautauqua, more than anything else, has evolved in addition to the component, the vaudeville, the performance, the education. There's also now a very large service component, which is about connecting with communities, about making long and sort of serious and lasting change in a meaningful way. And it's been an extraordinary experience for me in the years that I've been traveling.
Well, it sounds like you guys fall on the family-friendly end of the spectrum here compared to some of the acts that show up in New Orleans.
Oh, this is a family-friendly tour. In fact, you know, my kids as well as Aaron's kids have grown up on tour. They've been performing or touring or partnering in the different Chautauquas since I started, and certainly since Aaron started as well. So it's made up. Not just the people in the audience are families, but the people up on stage are families.
Well, you guys, you know, of all the circuses I ever heard of that parents were afraid their kids would run away and join, you guys are probably like the best prospect yet, as far as the parents are concerned.
Oh, this is so true. Wherever we stop, there is somebody who wants to join us. The last community show we did community show and workshops, and somebody over here I'm hoping is going to fill in where we were. But as we were leaving, there was this one young man. I don't know how old was he, 5, 7, and he was carrying things out to the truck. And as we were loading up, he just said, "I want to get on the truck."
Yeah, that was in Alaska Land in Fairbanks.
Oh, gosh, that was adorable. He just wanted to be with us.
Our telephone number is 1-800-478-8255, 478-TALK. If calling from Anchorage, a local call at 550-8422. We're speaking with the new old-time Chautauqua, now on tour through Alaska. And I guess your tour, if somebody has the list there, there's been Fairbanks and now there's Talkeetna. And this will continue like going down to onto the Kenai Peninsula, right?
Yeah, actually next, excuse me, we go to Palmer Saturday the 30th. Do you really want the whole rundown?
Do the whole schedule there, man.
Saturday the 30th, we have workshops and a show in the high school gym in Palmer. And then we're going actually to Chicoloon for 4 days. And are only going to have one public event. We're going there mostly to do service. But we have one public event on August 4th around 11 o'clock. And then we're going to Homer on August 6th. We have parade. workshops and the show in the Homer High School gym at 7:30. And we wind down in Seward on August 9th with the workshops 2 to 4 and a vaudeville show at 7:30 in the Seward High School Theater.
So what is the... I'm trying to picture what happens, like, let's say, in the workshop. Is this a matter of people come in and they need to be, like, bring some gear or, you know, wear sneakers or... how does it work? I mean, you've got aerialists, you've got hula hoopers. I don't know. Do you have anybody does, like, flame work or anything like that?
Hi, this is Erin McNamara, and I teach a quilting workshop, or lead it, actually, at one of the workshops.
So you don't have to necessarily wear sneakers for that one?
No, 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 not really. And there's also juggling and slack rope walking. Mask making. Joey Pibia here does a magic workshop. There's a song swap and acrobatics. So there's an assortment of workshops, and it changes each tour depending on who's on the tour and who wants to lead a workshop.
Okay, the one person we haven't talked to yet is a fourth one in the room is Shannon Gray, who does aerials. You want to talk a little bit about your work and how you ever got started in that, Shannon?
Yeah, sure. excuse me. Let's see, I started probably about 3 years ago, and then that summer was my first year with Chautauqua. And, yeah, I didn't have a history in dance or gymnastics, but I was a competitive athlete. And then the first time I climbed the silk, I just fell in love. And for me, it was this perfect combination of movement and expression and strength, flexibility, everything. But as the years have gone by, I have just kind of fallen deeper and deeper into it, and now kind of live in Montreal, where I study and train and perform, and then always come back to the West Coast. And this is my third year on Chautauqua, and this for me is it's a crucial part of my art. It's kind of my soul food. I spend a lot of the year training really hard and performing, and this is what I do for my living. And Chautauqua is kind of what gives me the inspiration that fuels my art, and it allows me to give back, you know, to children, to adults, to audiences, and the aerials for me is a way to communicate something deeper, and and hopefully share something with people, connect with people.
So is it important to smile when you're up there?
I think it depends on what I'm trying to communicate. And for me, it's about honesty, and like this next show, I'm going to be performing with Pashel, who is an amazing musician. So he'll be live on piano, and it's going to be kind of an improv piece, first time we ever performed together. And his music, it's just incredible, and it moves me. And, I don't know exactly what's going to come out until I'm performing, because I just try and stay just within the moment, a huge part of it is the energy from the audience, it's the energy from the music, it's where I'm at that day, and that all kind of comes together to create a performance. And so, I smile because I love it, but sometimes... it evokes a sadness or a humor, or you know what I mean? It totally depends.
Yeah. What happens when, I think anybody that's watched the circus, has seen these little moments when there's like this little stumble or something doesn't quite go right, and how people recover and all that. What happens when something doesn't quite go right? There's no choice, I guess. You just have to keep going.
Yeah, definitely. And it happens a lot. You see it with juggling where, there's a lot of drops and except if you're hairy hair. but to me, those moments, and it happens all the time in aerials too, I feel like they have the most potential. I love watching a juggler drop because I want to see how he or she deals with it. And I think it provides this like amazing opportunity to be real. And I was in a performance in Oregon Country Fair recently doing a partner acrobatic act, and at the end I play this little solo trumpet piece, and I'm kind of a beginner in the trumpet, but, you know, enjoying the musicians. And we're in front of an audience of over 2,000 people, and, you know, we performed this acro piece, which I loved, and it was just beautiful and just fun, you know. It was honest, and we were just there doing it. And at the end, I pick up my trumpet, and I'm totally out of breath, and the last note I just completely botch. It was just horrible. But we all just start laughing, you know. Like, I've never had over 2,000 people laugh at me, like, or with me, you know. And I'm basically on the ground rolling. I'm laughing so hard. And I think, and talking to people after, and just for me, it was my favorite part of maybe one of the best moments for me in performing, you know, because it was real. And it's just a matter of how you deal with it. And yeah, move through it, you know?
Yeah, that is, I think that's really special in a live audience. My old pal, Paul Krasner, that it totally changed his life to me when he realized, I can make people laugh. I mean, he wasn't even supposed to. He's supposed to be playing a violin, but he was funny, and they laughed, and it changed his life.
Yeah.
Simple as that. Harry Levine, or Kuzma Karamazov, I want to turn back to you. So are you the juggler of the group, or you must have more than one juggler?
Oh, my goodness. You can't walk 5 feet in any direction without bumping into a juggler. I mean, Shannon juggles. Joey juggles. I don't think Aaron juggles.
No, I'm learning to juggle.
Yeah, yeah. We probably have 20 jugglers, and actually one of the great things we usually do on every tour is choreograph a special mass juggling piece.
I'm just trying to picture that.
Well, you'll come see the show.
There.
We'll
yeah.
show you.
Yeah, yeah. You got to be there. But I mean, this is including audience and people that have been to your workshops and so forth.
No.
You can't do that. No. Really, a challenge.
How many drops you can have, Steve?
Yeah, right.
But I totally agree with Shannon. I mean, when you drop in juggling, it's the energy that you give the drop, what you do with it, the comic response, or the not. I have dropped on stage, and at the end of the show, people have come up and said, that was amazing. You didn't drop anything because of the energy you give it. So.
That's, you're not supposed to tell stuff like that. Okay, Harry, we're speaking with members of the new old-time Chautauqua, now performing in Talkeetna and then moving to Palmer and Seward and Chickaloon. Our telephone number is 1-800-478-8255, 478-TALK, a local call in Anchorage at 550-8422. And one of the reasons I was fascinated with this is, number one, because it's so unusual, but number two, because this ain't TV. This is like a performance and a social engagement of a sort that we rarely get a chance to experience in Alaska, and I wanted to probe that like a little bit, and see if the audience wanted to go there, because it seems to me that more and more, and we've discussed this on the program, that we're kind of losing our civic common ground as a society, and maybe these, you know, even ridiculous affairs like a circus are something that can help us rebuild our civic sense and our sense of who we are, because I think lots of times when our experiences are so mediated, we get kind of weirdly exaggerated and stereotyped ideas about what other people are like. And when you're in an engagement like that with everybody, that's when you kind of can see your commonalities a little bit more. And you guys must feel that that there is a social good. I mean, you talk about doing your service work, but just in the fact of a genuinely human-made thing, you know, it's not mediated and happens right there with an audience, must just be a feeling of something worthwhile.
Hey, Steve, would you like to develop that into a monologue and run away with the circus?
Oh, I can talk, buddy.
That is good. That's brilliant. That's great what you said.
I want to know a little bit about the economic basis of the new old time Chautauqua. I mean, this is expensive. You got to buy fuel. You must have a gate. Do you charge for the workshops? How does all this work?
The workshops are free. The parade is, of course, always free. We end up doing a lot of free community shows, and then we charge for our vaudeville show that's usually part of our 4 or 5 day stay. And we always partner with a local organization, a local nonprofit. Here we're in Talkeetna, we're working with the Denali Arts Council, and we split the gate with the locals because that's part of our belief system too. And as far as the finances, yeah, do we really have to go there?
Well,
no, I am actually the bookkeeper for the Chautauqua, and we do benefit shows throughout the winter, mostly in the Northwest, in Washington and Oregon, to try and raise money. The Flying Karamazov Brothers did a number of benefit shows this year for Chautauqua, and we have some donors. And this year, I want to say, we give great thanks to the Rasmussen Grant.
Yes, the Rasmussen Foundation chipped in.
The Rasmussen Foundation and the Harper Touring Fund saved our butts. So we really, really appreciate this Alaska Foundation that really helped us get here.
Well, yeah, I can't even. I mean, this has got to be more expensive than your average tour. But anyway, hopefully you get people that are helping you along the way, and it sounds like you are with your partners and so forth. Now I want to turn, unless you want to go a little deeper into the finances, which I would enjoy, but I don't want to compel you to.
Oh, I'll go wherever you want. I think the thing that makes the tour affordable is that everybody here is volunteering their time because of what they feel and what they care and what they want to give in their arts. And we have a lot of professional performers who take 2-3 weeks out of the year, as Shannon was telling you, and as Joey does, and as I do, to come on the road and do this amazing, amazing work, because you can't duplicate this experience when you're working in your own art form.
Wow.
To have 50 of us of all different persuasions, including all the amazing people like Aaron, who does costuming, and the kitchen cook, and the bus drivers, and the truck drivers, and all of that. You put it together. But this tour should cost us around $40,000. Is that what you want to know?
Yeah. That ain't bad if you got 50 people. You really have 50 people?
Yeah, we don't feed them.
They've got to feed themselves?
It's a thin.
No, I'm kidding. We do.
No, that's really impressive. So this is a special thing for the performers. Even to be in a troupe that large is probably very unusual.
It is, and it is very special. You're right.
Yeah. So tell me, other than the new old time Chautauqua, Joey, what would you be doing? Where do you find to do your magic?
I just finished a tour of the Northwest. I started in Bellingham, Washington, and toured small towns doing a show, a one-man show called The Magic Chamber, 30 seats, 60 minutes, one outrageous event. And that is a very unique, very small, truly, I would set up that in art galleries. The show ran in art museums, and it finished a 3-week run in Seattle at the Intiman Theater. And so that was what I was doing right before I came on tour.
Well, so you're an artiste. Yeah, I'm thinking of you guys as being somewhat cousins to some of those shows down in New Orleans, but and Burning Man and that sort of thing. But museums.
Pretty crazy, huh? Yeah, I was in art museums and art galleries. It was really quite an extraordinary experience for me.
Yeah. Let's take one of the others. Let's take Aaron. You're working costumes, and here you are, you know, mm-hmm. doing even quilting workshop. So what are you doing when you're not doing old-time Chautauqua?
I'm a costume designer, and I live in Eugene, Oregon. I design for various different organizations and ballets. And I look forward to the tour every year. I bring my 3 children, and we've been doing this for the last 7 years, and we just really look forward to it. We get to meet amazing people, see amazing things, and just, you know, have a really wonderful time sharing our time and our art with communities such as yours.
Do the kids juggle?
They're working on it. They're working on it.
I can't imagine. It seems to me like in a troupe, everybody sort of has to have an act of some sort, you would think.
Yeah, everybody does something. We all participate in making the tour happen. Even the children do. Even if it's, you know, sometimes it's working in the kitchen, cleaning up, working on an act, yes. My oldest daughter, Jasmine, she has performed trapeze on the tour before. She's also singing opera. Django, he's working on juggling, and he helps out quite a bit in the kitchen. And Carmen, she's 10, and she is just everywhere learning everything that she possibly can.
She plays the ukulele with no arms.
That's a stunt.
Yeah, she's been working on her ukulele quite a bit.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you all for coming into to our member station, KTNA, there, and sitting down in that little studio there, and the fact that we could get the microphone so that we can all feel like we're sitting around the table here is kind of enjoyable for the show. And I certainly want to invite the audience to participate at 1-800-478-8255. We're talking with members of the new old-time Chautauqua and kind of getting to know them. You know, it's interesting to me because even when I first heard about this this visiting troupe that is going to Alaska now, my my sister and my mother were both at Chautauqua, New York.
Yeah.
And they, you know, this is maybe, Joey, you probably know about what Chautauqua is. Maybe you could explain a little bit what that means.
Well, there is a lake, Chautauqua Lake, and as best we know, the word Chautauqua is an Iroquois word meaning bag tied in the middle with string. we often point out that it's not funny. It's true. It's just not funny. And Chautauqua started in upstate New York, and it started, we believe, with church organizations.
Oh, yes, it's very, very churchy, yes.
Often in the summer, and eventually, and it was a way of groups of people who wanted to be able to communicate something to other people to be able to do that, and that was part of what the entertainers did. The entertainers drew people in, and then there were speakers who were able to educate or speak or what, and so then it moved to a point where there were, and that we're talking about in the late 1800s, and then there were, it started to take hold. There were literally at one point thousands and thousands of Chautauquas touring the country. It was an absolute cultural phenomenon. It was the way people learned about things. It was people waited for Chautauqua to come to their town, and then they went. With the advent of radio and then television as a means of communication, the Chautauqua movement died. But I think at the height, when there were literally hundreds of thousands of people going every year, Teddy Roosevelt is, I'm not going to get the quote right, but I think he said, the Chautauqua is uniquely American, or the most American thing about America, what is Chautauqua.
Wow.
Yeah, it's quite a phenomenon. And as far as we can tell, if we're not the last, we're certainly one of the very few Chautauquas remaining in the United States today.
I'm going to dig deeper into this when Talk of Alaska continues.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from
the Pebble Partnership, developing a comprehensive mine plan that meets Alaska's regulatory requirements while supporting sustainable fisheries in Southwest Alaska. PebblePartnership.com.
And by
Alaska Business Monthly, providing a source for statewide in-depth business news on Twitter at AK Business Month or Facebook. Did you know Kodiak Island already produces about 90% of its electricity from clean, local, and sustainable hydro and wind power? Renewable energy, it's working for Alaskans. Learn more at realaska.org. This message sponsored by the Renewable Energy Alaska Project.
It's Talk of Alaska. The subject, the new old time Chautauqua. Our telephone number, 1-800-478-8255. In Anchorage, the number is 550-8422. Email is talk@alaskapublic.org. It's amazing how small a town you can go to in the lower 48, an older town that existed in the 19th century, of which we have not that many in Alaska, and you discover something that once was an opera house. Even smaller towns once had opera houses. Back in the days before, well, telegraph days, but no radio, no TV, people went out. They went out, they listened to lectures, they watched performers. It wasn't necessarily a full-scale opera, but there would be soloists, there would be recitals, and there would be traveling lecturers who would bring in, you know, people would come from miles to experience a spellbinding speaker. We have a little opera house in Talkeetna that was built by the Denali Arts Council. Really amazing. They took an old airplane hangar, they lifted it up, they put a gallery in there, and they have a stage on there. And no doubt you guys at the new old-time Chautauqua are using that that Sheldon hangar, aren't you?
That's where we'll be, yes.
So how is that rigged out? Isn't that a sweet little house, though?
It is a very sweet little house. It is really wonderful.
And you think you'll be able to cram back your hordes of audience into that?
That will be part of the magic, is how we're going to fit that Chautauqua in that space. That's exactly right. Oh, we'll fit. We've already started setting things up, and that is really part of the wonder of coming to see the troupe there.
So, and, how do you rig your aerial in there? Do you just get something up into the rafters, or how do you do that?
Yeah, there are just some really solid beams, so we just throw some span sets around that, and yeah, it's pretty simple. There's a nice catwalk, so it was really easy.
Yeah, yeah. I watched that from the very beginning, the way that they built that thing out, and I love it. But I have yet to go to a performance in there. But I would think that would just be kind of a honey of a spot to find yourselves in.
Oh yeah, I love it. I was in there yesterday for a bunch of hours, just kind of rehearsing and playing around, and it's such an intimate space, you know, with such a great feeling, and I love when audiences are close and kind of can share.
So what do you do if there's not a building for you to perform in? Do you actually bring some kind of big top or something? How do you work that?
Last year and the year before, we brought a portable rig, so we could set it up outside. This year, just because of the distance we had to travel and how much stuff we were bringing, we weren't able to bring the portable rig. So depending on where we are, there we might be able to borrow one. Some places we might not be able to do aerials. And then places like this we can rig in the theater. So.
And then your workshop sites, how does that work? I read something about yurts and like that.
For the aerials?
No, for the workshop.
Oh, just in general.
Yeah, we do have a yurt that sometimes travels with us, but like what Shannon said, because of the distance, we didn't bring the yurt with us. And we typically have because it's summertime, it's beautiful, people, you know, want to spend time in the park with their children, we'll have it in the park in a particular town, and sometimes it's in a community center building. So it really varies. It really varies where the workshops are held.
So you guys are pretty adaptable.
Yeah, I think we really pride ourselves on bringing the workshops and the show to where, whatever the situation is. I mean, so far on this tour, we have done a show in the Alaska Land, the Pioneer Theater, which is a beautiful theater, and we geared our show for that. And then the next day, we went to a school program, after school program for low income kids, and we were just in a cafeteria room and did a fantastic show there. And then the next day, we were on an organic farm called Calypso Farm outside of Fairbanks, and we had our marching band. We should talk about our marching band. We have a wonderful marching band, the Fighting Instruments of Karma marching chamber orchestra, marching chamber band slash orchestra, and they were all up on hay bales on a truck, and we did a show while, you know, people were sitting amongst organic vegetables and goats, and it was a fantastic show.
So what kind of numbers would this orchestra play?
Oh, that's a good question. What kind of numbers is this? Well, I know they play Teddy Bear's Picnic.
Ah, well, yes.
They call it, and they say that that's their national anthem.
Okay. I'm getting the picture. Can I get Harry or Joey or one of you to give me some idea of the full panoply of the different types of acts that are involved with the new old time Chautauqua? With 50 people, we've talked about aerials and juggling and quilting and magic. There must be more.
Well, we've got stilt walkers. Of course, there's the band. We have a sword swallower with us on tour this year. There are various types of different jugglers. There are some jugglers who juggle clubs, some who do what is known as contact juggling, which is just an extraordinarily amazing juggling with just one ball. The ball just seems to be floating by itself, weightless. Somebody else, just jump in here. What am I missing?
We have a number of acro pieces, including acrobatic type of stuff, a ladder act, with incredible dancing. We have
Vanessa
hula hooping.
She's just an amazing hula artist. You just cannot believe what she does with hula hoops.
And then sometimes we have acts that parody other acts even. So
There's comedy. Great comedy, right. And then of course music acts.
And the Flying Karamazov Brothers are here in town. There was one of our groups is here in town doing our kind of juggling comedy thing. And what else do we have?
Well, I think that's really quite enough. You don't have animals.
No animals.
Well, I mean, because that definitely adds to the difficulty of the tour, I'm sure, if you did. But, it's a very human dimensioned kind of thing, but also humans doing extraordinary things that they've managed to train themselves to do. So in the year, I mean, we heard a little bit from Joey about what his year is like as a magician and that this is kind of a treat. I believe Shannon was also saying, you know, Shannon, right, you do aerials, you perform other places and so forth, and then you get kind of to do this tour with the new old time Chautauqua. But what generally does the yearly cycle for this whole extravaganza, how does it shape up? There's this big gig in Oregon, right, and then other tours that kind of work their way around that?
When you say the big gig in Oregon, are you talking about the Oregon Country Fair?
Yeah.
Okay, which is where Chautauqua began. It evolved out of creating an extraordinary show, and then having everyone 30 years ago saying for a couple of years in a row, "Gosh, we've got this great show. Now we've all got to go do our other sort of individual personal gigs." And so they decided back then, wouldn't it be neat if we could take this on the road? So that is how it began, and that is kind of how we started. Many of us were performing at the country fair. But during the year, I think what happens, this tour ends, and then we're going to start planning the next tour. Harry, you want to?
Yeah, after about 6 months of recovery.
Mm-hmm. There's the recovery period. But then I think a crew of people, a planning committee, starts working on the next tour. We start planning benefits. We figure out how much it's going to cost. We start contacting potential sponsors, people like Calypso Farm, who might be able to house us. And then we start to put together a tour. We, if you can imagine this, as a group, we decide, more or less, as a group, we decide where we want to go. And that's, I think, everybody then is committed. Every one of us is eager to see whatever it is we've decided to happen. I think that probably gets decided before the new year, and then shortly thereafter we start working on the next tour.
And to us, none of us have ever been on an Alaska tour before, and the Alaska tours of Chautauqua are legendary. And Talkeetna is particularly legendary for the audiences and what they got out of the experience. I think it was 13 years ago, or it was the last time we were in town. And they tell us, Joe Page is one of our hosts here, is a fantastic guy, and he tells us that people still talk about it, and we still talk about it.
Well, yeah, and I mean, the Greenlight Circus, I think, popped up somewhere in between there, actually.
Oh, well, I don't know if they, when you say popped up, they certainly, I don't know if they were in existence then.
Right, that's what I mean. Know, they've come up since.
Okay, and so inspired by people who were at Chautauqua. And in fact, some of those folks are on tour with us this year, people who were part of the Greenlight, people who were here in Talkeetna for that performance. And Corey and his family,
Langham.
Corey Langham and his family, the whole family toured with us several years ago, and he's performing. I think he told me he was inspired by the Chautauqua performance that he was here for 13 years ago. And he's married, and he toured Europe, doing a vaudeville juggling comedy act, and he is now living in Montreal performing as a vaudevillian.
Wow. So vaudeville's had kind of a comeback here in the last 10, 15 years, hasn't it?
Yeah, even longer. I think it's not just the last 10, 15 years. I think it's even been longer.
So, but it's more this century than the last, let's say. More this century than the latter part of the last. It started maybe in the 90s, you know, late 80s and in there.
I think so. I think you're right.
Yeah.
And many of us take part in, I believe it's the world's largest vaudeville festival at this time, the Moisture Festival in Seattle, Washington, that runs from usually mid-March to mid-April, and oftentimes gives Chautauqua a show there, and many of us do our own work there, and it's an incredible month long on four different stages around the Seattle area. Great vaudeville fest.
Burning Man, is there any overlap with Burning Man?
I would say no. I mean, there's Burning Man, wow, it's definitely its own world, but
there's a lot
of circus going on down there for sure. The connection to Chautauqua specifically maybe isn't so strong, but a lot of performers that take part in Chautauqua definitely go down there, and yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, because I think we're also coming into an era of more street theater. I might be wrong about that, but I'm just getting that feeling that, you know, I think when people are maybe feel politically disenfranchised, they tend to get a little bit more creative about their expressions.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that.
Francine joins the program from Anchorage. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, and thanks for waiting, Francine.
Hi there, Steve. This is bringing back a few old memories of a friend that was singing with, I think, opera. Let's see, I think it was Western Opera, which was the sort of the farm team of the Metropolitan Opera Company. And at that time, Anchorage Opera was doing a co-production with them. And one of their baritone was a man by the name of Bill Fleck. And he was leaving, I think, after Anchorage, was going back. I believe he actually lived in Chautauqua. Now, that's in New York, I think, right?
Yes.
And the little tiny bit that he told me about the program there left me really quite intrigued. Now, of course, this wonderful group that is touring Alaska is a circus group. I guess I'm trying to put it all together. And they're also talking more of their relationship with Western America as against. I've lost the thread here. Where are we? If we're talking about the origins maybe of their company and what they do, opera, of course, is an interesting alliance, and I'm just trying to figure out how big this umbrella of Chautauqua is. You know,
I don't think they have any tenors, but I might be wrong about that, Harry.
Well, it might be lots of organizations, arts organizations, under this huge umbrella, or whether they're connected or whether they're operating separately or what.
No, this one I think is more an outgrowth of the Flying Karamazov Brothers.
Oh, I see. Okay. But Chautauqua, of course, then the term then maybe has become a word of its own meaning. That
well, I think they just grabbed it because they thought it was appropriate. Wes, maybe Joey, you could explain.
I think you're right to a certain extent, yes. There was just about anything that traveled, especially anything under a tent back in the the late 1800s, early 1900s, just about anything that traveled at that time called themselves a Chautauqua. And it evolved from just being religious-based to a point where there were, Mark Twain was a speaker at Chautauquas, Susan B. Anthony, and in fact, singers. We've had, my daughter has sung opera several seasons of Chautauqua. So it can encompass, the umbrella is quite broad, and our Chautauqua is more... I would say it's certainly not really. It certainly not comes out of the church philosophy, but it is more community based.
Well,
that's
why we're
the new old time Chautauqua.
Welcome. I'm almost ready to travel to Talkeetna to watch you guys.
Or Palmer is a little closer.
You absolutely should. You absolutely should. The show is extraordinary.
Wonderful. Welcome.
And you're an opera singer?
Well, I used to be, within the constraints of the Anchorage market, not nationally. But, yes, we had an opera. We still have an opera company.
One of the things we love to do in our show is, as we go into towns, is feature local talent. So if you show up in Palmer, come talk to us, and maybe you can audition to get in the show.
Man, that's one of the quickest challenges I ever heard.
Since I've been singing, but for all those young, singers out there, I hope somebody's going to take you up on your offer.
Thanks, Francine.
Okay, bye.
Telephone number 1-800-478-8255, 478-TALK. Whichever one of you wants to answer this one, maybe Aaron, maybe even, would be this whole idea of the sense of community. Do you feel that your new old-time Chautauqua effort is going in that direction of, like, community building a civic spirit, a civic sense, and so forth?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because we work with communities, organizations, nonprofit organizations of each community, they typically are our host, and they help pull people in to help out or to be involved with the show or to even lead a workshop themselves. So they also spread the word and encourage friends and let them know that this is happening. And the fact it's happening in a park, or at a community center and it's free, it's an opportunity for people to come together and just share time with each other. So I think that, yes, it definitely helps with, building community. Mm-hmm.
Well, have you been in touch with the quilters of the Palmer area?
I have not actually personally.
Let me tell you, you're entering the domain here in a few days of the world-class quilters.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yes.
There is a woman who typically organizes the quilting workshops. Mm-hmm. And so she heads that up, and I'm sure she has made contact with them.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would like to just speak to the fact that there's just this amazing effect that I see when we parade or hold workshops, where I just watch the people involved, the community, and I think one of the things that's the most important is that there's a shared experience, whether it be laughter or just intrigue or whatever it is, that everyone is kind of in this together. Do you know what I mean? And that shared experience, I think, is a huge, huge part of community. And I love watching it. I love seeing it.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Shannon Gray, the aerialist, one of the aerialists with the new old-time Chautauqua. And, if I can just expand on that a little bit, Shannon. I grew up in a small town in Pennsylvania. I don't even know if we had an opera house. I think maybe it did. Maybe way back before the Civil War might have had for a little while. But what I remember when I was growing up in the 50s there and the early 60s was an era when if someone tried to create some theater or some original local performance, it wasn't encouraged. It was, the tendency was, oh, well, we're not good enough for that. We're... people would want it to fail. They would want to sneer at it. They would want to make jokes about it. They were afraid that it would fail, and so they encouraged it to fail. And there's something about a large troop coming into town like this that gets the magic level up high enough that everybody can feel to be a part of it.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what you were talking about, Alex. There's something about when you're up there that everybody's helping you make it work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a community involvement. And speaking of the parades, what I really appreciate is, you know, it gives a lot of the locals and the communities an opportunity to be involved with the parade. You know, children will dress up or decorate their bicycles, or even, you know, the local talent will be involved. And so it's not just a parade of...
People can join the parade?
We've had people join in the parades.
And they can, and they can get into costume or whatever?
Sure. Yeah, if they've got something, you know, they want to sport, that's great.
Bring an instrument.
Absolutely.
Get crazy.
Absolutely. There's no us, there's no them.
Mm-mm.
It's always we.
And, yeah.
And we'd like to, after our parade today, is that today?
Yes, yeah. It's today. It's coming up.
Yeah, we're gonna. Our parade today. We're gonna have it. We'd like to invite everybody in the state of Alaska to an ice cream social.
Huh?
4 o'clock, right here in Talkeetna.
That is very Chautauqua.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. As Talk of Alaska continues.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from this APRN member station. How do you get men to wear their life jacket when the fact is that 90% of boating-related fatalities in Alaska are men? Well, truthfully, most men won't listen to messages like this, but they might listen to you. Have them fill out a Pledge to Live card and make a promise to wear their life jacket every time they get in a boat. Every time. Get a Pledge to Live card at pledgetolive.org. Make them promise so they make it back alive. This message sponsored by the Alaska Office of Boating Safety.
By email at talk@alaskapublic.org, Patrick chimes in and says, hey, I think in Northern Exposure there was this traveling troupe of jugglers. Which I totally have forgotten about. And I want to toss this one in. Growing up in Chautauqua country, just south of the New York state line there in northern Pennsylvania, I was in the Historical Society. My wife and I were in there, and she picked up a cookbook, which is what she likes to do. And it's a local old cookbook, and she's going through it, and she's reading it. She says, guys, they're always using milk here. I says, well, it's dairy country. And I said, well, they're using cream. And she goes on at page after page after page. She says, and every recipe ends the same word, freeze. It was all ice cream recipes. You know, like with the crank and the whole deal. We're speaking with members of the new Old Time Chautauqua, now performing and about to have a parade right down the main street, of which there is only one. In Talkeetna, and we go to Bill, joins the program from Anchorage. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Bill.
Yeah, thanks. Talkeetna, a great town. It's really fun to be there in the summer. But you guys are talking about when people watch and you're performing, and, you know, the difference between showing somebody and sharing. You know, like when you get off stage, I play drums, and people walk up to me and say, boy, you look like you had fun. And I said, yeah, I saw Ringo having fun, and I thought, you know. And then when you tell them, you could play drums too, and they go, what do you mean? I said, it takes a lot more coordination to walk than it does to play. And they go, what do you mean? I said, well, it's, you know, you've already got the coordination, so when you tap into that, and then the light goes on in their eyes. And they realize that they could do it too, and it's what you live for. It's really cool, and you guys sound like you're making a lifestyle out of that, and that's really cool. Do you guys got any great clean jokes though?
Clean jokes?
Yeah, like when you get attacked by a trooper.
Sure,
around,
sure.
What do you do?
What did the zero say to the eight?
Oh, I don't know.
Nice belt.
Ah.
Okay, why don't cannibals eat clowns? They taste good. Okay. But
why?
One last thing. You guys are playing on the largest living organism on the earth, according to Jeff Lowenfeld. There's a fungus that starts south of Fairbanks and goes all the way down to Kenai. And
yeah.
It's kind of cool because it's, you know, it's the biggest thing on the earth. So you guys are part of it. So Thanks.
Thank you.
Bill, thank you.
Bye.
Thank you so much. We go to Karen, joins the program from Talkeetna. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Karen.
Thanks. I was doing the math. You were talking about Greenlight Circus and
yes.
the way it started, and I remember distinctly when Chautauqua was here 13 years ago because we rafted with those guys on the Talkeetna River,
uh-huh.
and I remember one of them doing a handstand on the beach and then walking on his hands into the Talkeetna River. It was pretty exciting, actually. But
well, could anyway, they paddle? That's what I want to know.
Was that?
Could they paddle?
No, they were having too much fun. I believe we had to paddle for that, as I recall. And we were missing the right channels. We were going in all the wrong places, but we were having a really good time.
That sounds very
so
Chautauqua.
Cool.
Yeah, it was. But, you know, I started teaching school here in 1989. I'm a PE teacher up here. And I don't really know how old Corey Langham is, but I know he's got to be at least 30 by now.
31,
and, it was a couple of years after I started teaching, so it was about 1991 when the Langham family moved to Talkeetna, and they moved into the neighborhood where Joe Page and our family happened to live, and we all got out to our cars via a trail, either skiing or dog meshing.
Ah, yes, the Powwow Trail.
That's the Powwow Trail.
You
exactly.
betcha.
Yeah, and I remember going over to Langham's one evening and having a glass of wine with Mary on the couch, and she said that her life dream was to start a circus. And that was how Greenlight started. The two of us wrote grants, and we started a circus at the elementary school, and it was like a whole year-long project. And it was fabulous because we have a theme-based school in Talkeetna, and so circus became the theme. And everybody in the whole school, we had about 90 kids at the time, everybody had some kind of a role in the circus. And I remember spending lots of time building stage rings, and Corey and his buddies and Seth, his older brother, were some of the first unicyclists that could unicycle around this ring, this wooden ring in the gym, and it was a really tiny, tiny gym.
Karen, thank you. We got to cut it off. We're out of time.
Oh, dear. Well, Chautauqua came after that and continued to inspire
okay.
everybody.
All right. Greenlight started before Chautauqua got there, but they came back. Harry, Kuzma Karamazov, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
And Joey, Shannon, Aaron, thank you all so much.
Thank
it's a
you.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
I hope it's a great parade. I hope it doesn't rain on it.
It looks beautiful outside.
Pretty right. nice outside.
All right. Thanks to Will Peterson and Sue Dio in KTNA, Dave Waldron at the controls, Josh Edge, and Heather Orono on the phones. I'm Steve Heimel. Thanks for listening.
Talk of Alaska is made possible by this member station of the Alaska Public Radio Network, by BP, supporting public broadcasting in Alaska. Timing is everything. A mother who waits until her child is at least 2 years old before becoming pregnant again is making the best decision for herself and her baby. The mother has a better chance of regaining health and energy between pregnancies, and her baby has a better chance of being born on time and at a good weight. Talk to your health care provider to find out how to plan your pregnancies. This message is sponsored by the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services. This program is a production of APRN, which is solely responsible for its content. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of APRN, this station, or its underwriters. Today's program is available online at alaskapublic.org. CD copies are available by calling 550-8400.
This is APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network.